The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you very much. I'm not Pastor Barry. Pastor Barry's on vacation today. I'm Pastor Flam. We're happy to be here with you and sharing God's Word with you this morning. Our order of service is printed out in our bulletin today. And we're going to begin on page 1 with the greeting. Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Praise you.
Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of
Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. As he passed through, he preached the gospel to all towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading comes from 1 John chapter 4, beginning with the first verse. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that the God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. Even if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to rise now for as we sing. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go?
St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Each branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated now as we join in singing our next hymn.
Thank you.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In today's gospel, Jesus talks about our connection to him and how we remain his disciples. And to get this important message across to us, Jesus chose to use a picture of a grapevine and its branches to talk about our relationship with him. Our text is John 15, verse 5. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Let us pray. Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask you to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in your tender care and take us to heaven to live with you there. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us that because of our sin, our original sin and our actual sinning, you and I are separate ourselves from God. Sin cuts a person off from the Heavenly Father, who is the source of all physical life, spiritual life, and eternal life. And because of our sin, the only fate that we can really expect from God the Father is to be cast aside, to be thrown into the fire of hell, to be burned there forever. For the wages of sin is death. And that's truly bad news. That's somber news for all of us, especially today. It's such a beautiful day, Sunday morning. But that's not all the news this morning. There's good news and joyous news for us as well. And just joyous news is to be found in the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is good news about our relationship with God the Father, which was destroyed by our sin. That relationship has been mended by his Son, Jesus Christ. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God the Father's solution to the problem of our fate in hell because of our sin is to graft us into his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's be clear about what the scripture says and understands about the word graft and what it means. When you hear the word graft, there are a number of different meanings that might come to mind. A common usage of graft in our society today, and it comes from the political realm, and I'm very conscious of this, you know, that it could apply to some official corruption or taking a bribe, often money, to do certain things. People try, but they can't bribe God. God's not on the take. God takes no bribes. In medicine, graft has to do with taking a piece of your own skin and moving it to some other place on your body, or taking a piece of somebody else's living tissue and putting it on another person. However, the word of God, use of graft, really isn't a medical understanding of graft either. Rather, God's word uses graft that has to do with farming and agriculture, and that understanding and use of grafting. As some of you know, but not all of you, as a boy, I grew up in Southwest Portland, Oregon. And one day, I can remember my dad, he brought home a new apple tree. And he had a number of them planted in the backyard. And what was unique about this apple tree was that it had five different varieties of apples. And he told me that. And I said, well, how can that be? And then he told me it all had to do with grafting. And you know what I asked? I said, what's grafting? Well, then he told me to look carefully at four of the branches of that new apple tree. And then he went on to explain that a man there at the nursery had grown this young apple tree, a certain variety, and it had four branches, top and then four around. And then at one time, he carefully cut on an angle about halfway up on each branch, those four branches. And next, then he carefully cut off a similar sized branch from a different variety of apple tree, four. And then taking one branch at a time, he firmly inserted the edge into the cut branch. Then he wrapped something around it to hold the two together. Once that was done, my dad said, the sap started running from the young apple tree into that branch that had been grafted, connected onto that tree. After a short time, the two branches became one branch, and the binding material then was removed. And the four grafted branches were now part of the new young apple tree that I helped my dad plant. And over the years, there were five different kinds of apples from that one apple tree that we enjoyed, all because of grafting. Well, God the Father's solution to everyone's fate in hell because of their sin for each individual person is to be grafted into his Son, Jesus Christ. Grafting into Jesus, you and I then can grow in union with Jesus, who says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus' forgiveness, like that sap that flew into those little branches, Jesus' forgiveness flows into our deadness with new spiritual life that only Jesus can give a person. 1 John 5, verse 12 speaks about this in absolute terms. It says, whoever has the Son, Jesus Christ, has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Grafted into Jesus gives you and me and anyone else life. Since sin, though, cuts a person off from God the Father and makes them spiritually dead, how is it that you and I are now branches grafted into Jesus? Well, it all goes back to our baptism. You know, we have the baptismal font here before. We heard in our first reading today that the Ethiopian said, what's to prevent me from being baptized? We were grafted into Jesus Christ at our baptism. God the Father reached down to you and me through his word, which accompanies the water of holy baptism. As a vine dresser cleans the grape shoot he grafts into the grapevine, so God cleansed you and me of all of our sins. God forgave all of our sins through Jesus and for Jesus' sake. God made us holy. God joined you and me to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God gave us the gift of faith. And God made us his children and heirs of eternal life. When it comes to true spiritual life, you and I can only get sustenance for our spiritual life from Jesus Christ. Only in the vine Jesus Christ, can our new life be nourished day by day? Our spiritual lifeline is God's means of grace, God's word, and the sacraments. Through these, the Holy Spirit keeps us spiritually alive. The Holy Spirit keeps us able to produce the fruits of our faith in Jesus. It's clear from John 15, verses 1 through 8, that Jesus knew something about agricultural art of grafting. Jesus knew that. He states, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Unless you abide in me. 10 times in John 15, Jesus used the Greek word meno. Meno means abide. For instance, Jesus said, unless you abide in me, whoever abides in me, abide in my love, to name a few. The critical issue is not whether Jesus will abide with us or his promise that nothing can snatch us out of our hand, his hand. The question is, will you and I abide in Jesus? Will we stay grafted into Jesus? Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But you and I can choose to have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. We can choose to live without Jesus. You and I can voluntarily separate ourselves from Jesus. The tragedy around us today is that many people have indeed voluntarily and consciously separated themselves from Jesus the vine. And so our Lord doesn't want that to happen to any of us. But if it does, praise God, because a person can be regrafted into Jesus. Therefore, Jesus pleads with us, abide in me. You and I are nothing without Jesus. The Holy Spirit, who has grafted us into Jesus, keeps us connected to Jesus through the Word of God. Now grafted into Jesus, we draw on Jesus' power, Jesus' love, Jesus' mercy, Jesus' grace to live as his disciples and for fighting off those urges to live as though we didn't need Jesus anymore in our life. The end result, though, of our life being connected to Jesus Christ is that you and I bear fruit for God. That's important. That's what God, the Heavenly Father, deeply desires. He even requires. Remember, he prunes so that we can produce more fruit. Everyone who is grafted into Jesus should be producing fruit. And God himself enables you and me to bear fruit, to bear and produce good works. That's why we're pruned. That's why we're disciplined by God. To keep our old sinful nature in check that continues to sprout up. And to get rid of all those sins that we continually commit day in and day out. We are carefully tended by our Lord. We're fertilized by his word so that we can continue to bear fruit. Ephesians 2 verse 10 states it this way. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's no wonder then that the Word of God encourages you and me in various places to be filled with the fruit of righteousness, to bring forth the fruit of God, to be fruitful in every good work. As a grapevine cannot bear grapes, that's its fruit, through its branches, that's how it does it. So indeed, Jesus works in the world, and what Jesus wants done is accomplished through his disciples, including you and me. For example, our mouth speaks Jesus' truth for him. Our hands work for Jesus. Our feet run errands for Jesus. In Galatians 5, some of this fruit is called the fruit of the Spirit and is listed as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Fruit or good works never is the cause of our salvation. Fruit or good works is always a result of our being grafted into Jesus and our faith in him. By the grace of God, we are truly blessed to be grafted into Jesus. May we continue to draw our spiritual life from Jesus the vine, with Jesus' love flowing into us individually. You and I grow, and you and I mature as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as the Holy Spirit keeps us attached to Jesus, we will continue to bear much fruit and prove to be Jesus' disciples, to the glory of God the Father. In faith, we confess again with the hymn writer, "Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. Died that I might live on high, lived that I might never die. As the branch is to the vine, I am his and he is mine." In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We continue now on page 7 with our next hymn.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We continue now with the singing of our canticle.
Oh, be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer,
and let my cry come to you.
Heavenly Father, you have grafted us onto the vine of your Son. Prune us and cut off from us all sin and dead works, that we may always draw life from your Son and produce the fruits of faith and good works. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Lord God, your only Son came in the flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. Protect us from false teachings, that we may always confess Christ to be our only true God, and remain faithful to him. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Father and teacher of all truth, guide teachers and catechumens in your word, that they may increase in understanding, faith, and love for Christ, a lamb led to the slaughter in our place and raised from the dead. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Almighty God, give all the commandments to our president and all in authority, that they may serve honorably and in accord with your good order. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Mighty God, watch over the nations of the earth, and may your will be done throughout the world. Send your Spirit especially to comfort the martyrs and persecuted Christians across the world, that they may find their hope and assurance of the resurrection in your Son. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, bless and preserve missionaries who are called and sent to deliver your word. Guard and protect them as they carry Christ to all corners of the earth. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Merciful God, you hear and answer your children in their hour of need. Give aid to Major, Wayne, Sanda, Pastor Flatt, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thursa, Alex, Debbie, Ella, Ava, and Esther. Grant that they would bear their crosses with faith, ever looking to you, and so fix their hearts where true joy is found. We include our brothers and sisters who are unable to gather with us in this fellowship. Especially we remember today Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thurston, Jim, and Alex. Continue to send your Spirit to assure them of your promises. Guard and sustain them until we all be gathered again in the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Creator, protect your word, and let the creation produce life. Grant us courage to take up our callings, to rule and have dominion over the earth responsibly, and cultivate life. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we also remember those who are traveling at this time, especially Pastor Barry. We pray that your holy angels be with them all, that they may safely return from their journeys. We also, Heavenly Father, know that you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Hear and answer our prayers for the sake of Jesus Christ. Through him, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, you made the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise.
that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please be seated as we join in singing our hymn of departure. This morning? Mel? Yes, I see Mel over here.